today. We can't just do rallies. We have to fight back. There will be casualties on both sides. There will be, because people have to die to make a change in this world. But Trump, enough with your racism. There will be casualties on both sides. People have to die to make a change in this world. People have to die. People have to die. People have to die. People have to die.
People have to die.
People have to die. People have to die. People have to die.
We have audio, no video.
Radio Free V-Dot.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13. This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you for tuning in. This is the voice of the resistance against communism, against a godless anti-American agenda. Thank you for being with us in this struggle to maintain our heritage and, well, Americanism. This week, I am going to, tonight, episode 1643. Is going to be a repeat of yesterday's show at the American Christian Network, not a recording. I've got the notes here, and there's actually several things that I would love to have gotten to, and I was not able to, and I'm going to do that tonight here at Radio Free Redoubt. Tuesday night was a beautiful thing. We were at Matt Shea's election, not Matt Shea's, it was the election, it was Republican gathering, but Representative Matt Shea was the MC there. Thank you for your support for Radio Free Readout, and we are honored to support you, sir. Very rare patriot, indeed. An elected official who's truly a patriot. And he's hated for it by the left, which makes him a friend of ours and a fellow brother in Christ and a warrior for Americanism and liberty. But when the tide started to change on election night, someone said, "Oh my gosh, Trump won." And I said, "Who cares? Hillary lost." And that's how it was for me on election day. I'm going to talk about some of the influences, some of the things that we are up against. The challenges are not over. And like I mentioned yesterday, this is not the time, patriots, to let your foot off the gas. Right now, we have to keep the momentum. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, right after the news and commentary, which is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. Go to 299days.com to learn more about that 10-book series, including the audio books about the collapse and the rebuilding, which is what we focus on, try to place the most emphasis on. Preparedness is only to help you weather the storm so you can be effective in the rebuilding afterwards, so you can be a contributor to what type of society and culture you want to come out the other side of into. Make sense? All right, international news from Sputnik News. Daesh terrorists, that's ISIS or ISIL, they just call them Daesh. Terrorist group trains militants to look like refugees so that they could easily enter the territory of European countries. Welt am Sonntag, that's the world on Sunday, newspaper reported, citing data from the Federal Intelligence Service of Germany. The newspaper wrote that the militants are being regularly trained so that they would be able to behave properly during a police questioning and when applying for asylum. The training gives them an opportunity to get lost among many other refugees arriving in Europe and not to attract attention. Don't think this is isolated only to Europe, listeners. They are training them to infiltrate the United States, especially with the soft, porous, open borders. Like they haven't been doing that all along anyway. And now we've got someone else trying to help bring refugees. I'll tell you what, this administration knows that it only has about 2.5 months of breath left in its life. It's going to do everything it can to destroy as much of Americanism as it can before Trump takes office, if he takes office. Australia now is to resettle refugees in the U.S. under a one-time, apparently, deal. Australia will transfer hundreds of refugees currently held in offshore detention centers to the United States in a landmark deal announced Sunday. The deal would only be available to those currently in the regional processing centers, which are, check this out, offshore. See, the Australians, they got it figured out. We're just injecting them right off the plains, right into rural America. But the Australians, they wised up and they said, no, we're going to keep you in an offshore detention facility until we can figure out who you are. Well, for some reason, they decided that the United States or the Obama administration went and begged them, please give us your Muslims. So now the deal would only be available to those currently in the regional processing centers that are offshore. And they're going to prioritize women, children, and families. And the majority of the detainees come from the Middle East and South Asia, with Iran and Afghanistan providing the bulk of the refugees. Now, these refugees are coming from Iran and Afghanistan. Why are there refugees fleeing Iran? Is there a war going on in Iran that I don't know about? How are some of these refugees coming from countries that are not Syria or other war-torn countries? And almost overwhelmingly, all of them are Muslim. Almost. It's just a less than of a percentage point of those are Christians. But the Obama administration is bringing in Muslims, continuing to do so. And when they can't find enough, they go to Australia to get theirs. But see, here's the propaganda. There's pictures of these little children, toddlers, 3, 4 years old they look like, but their faces are covered because they're holding up a sign that says, my third Christmas in detention. There's another one. My third Christmas in detention. Now, Muslim refugees, using this is my third Christmas, they don't care. They despise Christmas. But see, that just doesn't tug at the heartstrings like I've missed my third Ramadan in detention. Oh, that just wouldn't tug at the heartstrings the same. It's my third Christmas. Now let's go to national news. Hey, what happened to all the celebrities who said that they were going to leave the country? They said, if Trump wins, we're going to Canada or we're going to England. And I got thinking, wait, these guys are protesting racist wall-building Trump, who's just trying to keep the little guy down. We're all one, should blow the borders wide open. And he wants to build a wall, and that racist Trump becomes president. I'm moving to Canada? Huh. Well, what a bunch of hypocritical racists. Why don't they go to Mexico? And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, once you denounce the U.S. because of President Trump, you've denounced your citizenship. I think we ought to pack him up and send him over to Mexico. You go to Mexico. Isn't it interesting that to protest racist Trump as a way of speaking out in support of the South and Central American invasion of our border, they're going to keep going north to where it's white or Muslim. They're going to go be with the Muslims in Toronto. But no, they should go to Mexico. Well, except for Samuel L. Jackson. He says he's going to South Africa. Oh, he doesn't want to be around Canadians. All those whites, he doesn't want to go to Mexico either. He's going to South Africa. He's a black separatist. He's going to go around and be around other blacks. Isn't that interesting? Even the liberals flock to other birds of the same feather. Interesting. Interesting to see nature at work. Send him to Mexico, too. All right. Now, there is an article here from Reagan Coalition. Actually, it's all over the internet now. Trump releases his plan for the Second Amendment, leaving millions furious. Now, the millions that are furious are the anti-gunners. Are there really, really millions? I don't know, but it sounds good. There's parts of this that sounds great. Listen to this. This is their stance from the Trump transition team. Quote, "The Second Amendment to our Constitution is clear. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon, period," the position paper began. Trump went on to explain that the right to keep and bear arms is a right that pre-exists both the government and the Constitution, noting that government didn't create the right, nor can it take it away. He also rightly denoted the Second Amendment as America's first freedom, pointing out that it helps protect all the other rights that we hold dear. Sounds like one of us. I couldn't agree more with those statements. But remember, the Second Amendment is not the only part of the Constitution and is not the only amendment. There are other rights as well, which protect the Second Amendment, and the Second Amendment protects the other rights. So, in order to protect and defend that right, Trump proposed tougher enforcement of laws that are already on the books, rather than adding new gun control laws. Okay, well-intended, however, if they began enforcing all the gun laws that are already on the books without adding more, half of us would be in jail probably. Most, I would say, if you want to really do something to protect people's right to defend themselves, you should start rolling back, repealing, junking probably 99% of the gun laws that are on the books. In order to protect and defend that right, he proposed tougher enforcement. I don't want them to enforce the laws that are already on the books. Those are unconstitutional and unlawful laws, like taking a firearm from someone because somebody else said, "I think he might be dangerous to himself or to others." Whoop, take his guns. Just the accusation, just like in California, just like what they just passed in Washington State by a voter referendum initiative. Because $4 million of Bloomberg's money was dumped into the Kool-Aid making machine in Washington State, duping these people into accepting a law that bypasses the rule of law and due process. Just merely on accusation, they come and take your guns. Then another thing that goes out the window is the presumption of innocence until proven guilty. That goes out the window too, because we're going to take your guns. And then if you're not really a danger to yourself or others, like so-and-so said, prove it. That is unconstitutional. Remember, the Second Amendment is not the only amendment in the Constitution. There's the Fourth Amendment, the search and seizure laws. There's the Fifth Amendment. There's the First Amendment. Citing a successful program in Richmond, Virginia that sentenced gun criminals to mandatory minimum 5-year sentences in federal prison, Trump noted that the crime rates will fall dramatically when criminals are taken off the streets for lengthy periods of time. Well, everywhere where they've increased gun laws or minimum mandatory sentences, crime didn't go down, it went up. The stricter the gun control measures, the more violent crime there is. Gun-related crime, in fact. Successful program, huh? And here's the thing, too. It's illegal to murder someone. If you shoot someone, now it's really, really, really bad. If you stab somebody, that's bad, but not as bad as shooting them. We're going to double your sentence, or we're going to give you a minimum mandatory sentence or whatever because you used a gun. These have got to go. Look, so you murder someone, you hang. That's my opinion. It doesn't matter what you used. But this is really cool, though. This is the first time I've heard somebody say this. They want to get rid of the gun and magazine bans. Suggested fixing the current background check, which... I've got issues with that too. But check this out. Trump proposed a national right to carry, a national concealed carry reciprocity law that would compel states to recognize the concealed carry permits of any other state, exactly as driver's licenses from anywhere. Now, remember the Saul Alinsky's rules for revolution? Okay, what is it? Number four or number five? I got to look again. Says, make the opponent follow their own rules. This is a classic example where the conservatives, where the patriots, can use Saul Alinsky tactics to throw right back in their face. You want to issue a same-sex marriage license in Vermont and force another state to accept it and recognize it across state borders? You must accept it. Shouldn't that work for concealed weapons licenses as well? I like it. Right back in their face. They want to play that game. We can play that game. Finally, Trump would lift the prohibition on military members carrying weapons on military bases. Hallelujah. And in recruiting centers, allowing trained military members to carry weapons to protect themselves from attacks by terrorists, criminals, and the mentally unstable, as we've seen recently. It is about time. And what in the heck took us 40 years to figure that one out? The whole premise of you not being able to defend yourself is because that's something you shouldn't take matters into your own hands. That's something for the trained professionals, not a inadequately or non-trained civilian. Well, here we are with trained professionals who are disarmed and subject to terrorist attacks and active shooters, unable to defend themselves. It's absolutely asinine. Unbelievable. That initiative I-1491, Extreme Risk Protection Orders, talking about American Readout News, that was the initiative. $4 million from the likes of Bloomberg were dumped into public information, that means propaganda campaign, to dupe just enough Washington state citizens into thinking it was a great idea. And they all, in the name of constitutional elections and voting initiatives, voted for something unconstitutional. And that is bypassing the rule of law and due process and seizing property from someone without a warrant and tossing out the presumption of innocence until proven guilty. We are going to treat you as if you are guilty until you can prove otherwise. That is unconstitutional. And that's when you no longer have a republic. We'll be back in a minute.
Will he or won't he? That is the question of the hour. Will Trump keep Janet Yellen, or will the spoils go to the winner, and will Trump insert one of his cronies into power over the central bank? Big things to think about as we see the country begin to descend into chaos and disorder after a weeks-long protest from results of the election. I'm concerned before the election, now I'm ever more cautious of our financial future here in America. So stay tuned as I bring you the financial news and commentary that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. Mmm, you smell that? Yeah, that's coffee. Not just any coffee. That's Sister's Coffee Roasters coffee. The rich aroma of the custom roasted beans. You know what I'm talking about. There just isn't a morning that is right unless you have had a good cup of coffee to start your day. Why would you start it off with a bad cup of coffee? It's the thing that gets you out of bed and ready for a busy day of prepping. It's time for you to step up your coffee game and order your roasted or unroasted beans for your food storage from sisterscoffeeroasters.us. You want to get the best coffee in the readout? Again, sisterscoffeeroasters.us. That's two sisters, one great cup of coffee. SistersCoffeeRoasters.us. Welcome back, folks. Again, I want to thank our sponsor, SistersCoffeeRoasters.us, for their continued support of Eye in the Economy. It's because of great patriot businesses like this that make America great. Go out there and get them supported today. That's SistersCoffeeRoasters.us. Okay, so Trump won, and millions upon millions of voices cheered. Now, I know that the people that Fox 519 hanging with was especially surprised, and that despite many, many reports of cheating, he still came out on top. Now, what does that mean for the next 4 years? Well, I believe we are going to continue to see failed economic policies. Now, that's not because that President-elect Trump won't try to fix things. It is that the things that needed to be addressed haven't been addressed or scrutinized correctly. Let's take the GDP, for example. Now, according to Ray Dalio of Bridgewater Associates, if you add up all the debts and liabilities of the U.S., it's more than 1,000% of GDP. Yes, 1,000% or 11 times actual GDP. So, I know that some of you out there are listening saying, Fox, he's going to bring manufacturing home. He's going to help, quote, make America great again by kicking out the illegals and filling those jobs with Americans. And here is the rationalization that I absolutely love. Well, we might just grow out from those debts and obligations. My response is this, folks. If you look back at the chart that Bridgewater put together, you will note that it has grown from 700% to 1,000% of GDP since 2001. If our GDP had been growing at the same pace, the ratio value wouldn't have budged. It would remain at 700%, and yet that's still not sustainable. It grew to 1,000%, which means the debts and obligations we're owing much faster than GDP growth. We are wildly spending more than we have ever been making before. Ladies and gentlemen, no country in history has ever dug out of this hole. Someone is going to have to pay the piper here, folks. And for the last 50 years, we have spent and spent and spent with no more forethought, except you amazing patriots out there, to what the consequences will ever be. Folks, a Trump presidency is not going to fix the problem. He is hearing a can that has been kicked so many times down the road that it is far repairable and leaks. The only way to go through this is down and out the other side. And for those of you who are anti-Trump, it's time to put our differences aside and begin to work to bridge the gap between generations. Fighting each other is not going to resolve the fact that we need to prepare for economic chaos. We have to prepare the readout. We have to repair hearts, and we have to repair minds. We have to work to make sure that the people here are protected and restored. All right, well, enough of my soapbox for that for a moment. More to come as we wrap up 2016. In other world news, and this story is a big one, India has banned cash, and guess what? It has caused huge amounts of chaos, and ATMs all over the country have run dry. The week's decision by Prime Minister Modi was to ban some high-denomination banknotes. Now, he used this as the premonition for fighting, quote, corruption, but it has left chaos everywhere, according to one official who accused the premier of wreaking havoc on the poorest of Indians. As Reuters quickly reported, near half of India's 202,000 ATMs were shut on Friday, and those that operated quickly ran out of notes as scores of people descended upon them. India's banks have been caught out by Prime Minister Narendra Modi, and I might have pronounced that wrong, the unexpected and widely praised announcement late Tuesday of withdrawal of the 500 rupee and 1,000 rupee notes. Now, this is part of a crackdown on tax evasion and the, quote, underground economy. Remember that, underground economy. That's going to be something we're going to talk about in the future. Modi's administration urged people to not rush to banks immediately and wait a few days to conduct financial transactions using electronic transfers, checks, credit, and other debit cards. Instead, Indians rushed to deposit more than 478.6 billion rupees, or 7.1 billion in U.S. cash, of their money at State Bank of India after the government's surprise move to abolish those high-denomination banknotes. Reports are customers queued for hours and days to deposit or exchange old bills as those ATMs ran dry. Now, on Saturday, as banks struggled to dispense the cash following the government's decision, more and more Indians became mad and unhappy. Tempers frayed as hundreds of thousands of people queued for hours outside the banks for a third day to swap the 500 and 1,000 rupee banknotes after the notes were abolished, obviously on Tuesday. The banned bills, and this is going to get you folks, made up more than 80% of the currency driven in circulation, leaving millions of people without cash and threatening to bring the cash-driven economy to a halt, especially the underground economy. And we're going to go into detail on that as we move into the end of 2016. Folks, this is why you cannot use cash for the long run. It will eventually have to be recalled and controlled, and this exact thing will happen. It'll drive an underground economy. This is going to happen in our country. Mark my words, with the GDP being 1,000% below the liabilities of this country, the Trump administration is going to have to do whatever they can to try to harness the tax income and the money floating around in the underground economy. I would not put it past them to do this in the future. This is why each week I tell you that you need to make sure don't keep all your wealth in cash or in the bank. Gold and silver are real and true currency. Yes, our government tried to go for gold once, but this time around America has something that they didn't have before. All of you out there in the listening audience. Well, thanks again for listening for this week and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout. This is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
One podcast dares to be different.
Welcome back. Segment two with Selkirk Mountain Real Estate to help you get situated to the northernmost part of the panhandle. And I'll tell you what, folks, we are living on borrowed time. If you've been meaning to, been pondering it, been thinking about it, and you haven't made your move, do not come here to the American Redoubt as a refugee with nothing but the shirt on your back saying, take me in, I'm a fellow patriot. When you've been warned for years, if you're going to do that to us, then at least pre-position some supplies, because I'll tell you what, I was talking to some folks that live in a pretty good little patriot community. They got a family that just moved in with six kids. And they were saying, you know what? We're kind of concerned. If we had a whole bunch of patriots move into this area, we are scrambling to try to meet the needs of this one family and give them shelter and food, get them clothing, get them settled in. Several people all pitching in for one family. Like, if we get 15, 20, 100 families showing up on our doorstep when everything comes crashing down in the Republic and people are scrambling to free zones, that is a huge taxing on the host community. I don't even want to think about having to turn people away, especially patriots, that you simply can't take them all in. So get strategically moved, relocated, wherever you're going to go, the Appalachian Redoubt or the American Redoubt, make your move. Don't sit there and say, oh, they'll take us in, we're patriots. That's rude. I will help as many as I can, but I will also be very honest about drawing a line in the sand saying, this is as far as I can go without sacrificing my own family. So, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com to help you get situated in the American Redoubt. Build up, buy some property, build a shop, store some food, have it ready. Have it ready to land. You can just show up with the shirt on your back and you can resupply. There's an idea. Or find somebody already, develop a relationship with somebody already in the American Redoubt that can host it for you. So you don't have to worry about some meth heads breaking into your shop when you're not there and stealing all your stuff. There's strategy, free, not even charging you for that. Now let's go to what we're faced with right now is none other than a communist-backed revolutionary front. And this is not rhetoric. Something I want to remind you guys of. When Trump won this week, we were given grace. We are a nation under judgment. And I want to remind you of something. That on Tuesday, November 8th, we were given a reprieve. This country did not repent on Tuesday. There were so many people on their knees in the last month or two, praying for the defeat of what would assuredly be one of the worst tyrants of all time at some point. We had the largest evangelical Christian turnout in history. 81% of the registered Christian voters turned out. Here's an article right here, Life News. Exit polls show white evangelical voters voted in high numbers for Donald Trump, 81-16. 81%. Now, what's disturbing is that 16% voted for Hillary or someone else. But 81%. Now, this is one thing that, and here's the other thing. Do not think that we won and this is, and that we've defeated the other side. They are calling to become stronger than ever. Soros is saying we are going to continue to fight, and you better believe they will. The Republican candidate won by a razor thin margin. There is a little over 400,000 votes separating Trump from Hillary. And guess what? She won the popular vote. You get that? Hillary won. She got 400,000 more votes than did Trump. But he took more of the electoral college votes. So before you start prancing around thinking we got America back, this is one step in the right direction. I'll tell you what. They know how close it was. They also have resources they are going to be doubling down. I'll tell you something else. This complete system is threatened right now. I don't know if you realize this, but this entire global system, from the climate change laws to NAFTA, there are trillions of dollars on the line that stand to be disrupted in stolen wealth and other backdoor deals and handshake deals, winks and nods that have taken place for this global system, for one man to come and wreck it. He is not the president yet. This new system, from the Obama administration all the way up to the International Monetary Fund to the climate change cult, the entire world system and everything they've built is threatened by this one man. He is not president yet, and they are like a wounded bear, which makes them unpredictable and dangerous. There are record numbers of deaths being called for Trump on social media from the people on the street. Can you imagine what types of discussions must be taking place behind closed doors at the level of the elite? How can we make him go away? Celebrate Tuesday. It was a wonderful defeat for the adversary. We should be celebratory. And I really believe that it was because of his people who were on their knees crying out, and he heard their voices. But just like 2 Chronicles 7:19 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Guess what? He heard our cries, but our land is not healed, and we did not repent, and we have not, at the national level, have not turned from our wicked ways. As I mentioned yesterday, there's only two ways when a republic falls, two ways that it goes. One, invasion by a foreign military, conquest, and the other one is just a crumbling within and then a rising up of smaller, independent, self-ruling nation states. Now, whenever God's people rejected him and his law, like you could say we have done in America, they never just crumbled and a separate self-ruling state rose out of it, except for in one case, and that's when Israel was fractured and became Judah and Israel. So then Judah had a chance to do it right while Israel got taken away into captivity. And then a few years later, Judah screwed up, and then they were overtaken, conquest, and went into captivity. He spanked his people to bring them back around again. There are so many pillars of the old system in place. And this is like, I was saying, this is like we got a King Saul. Not God's will for our people. He's not necessarily a godly man, but God's using him for his purposes. And I believe this is a result of the prayers of the believers. So But actually, he's more like a Cyrus, where he's basically God's people have favor in his eyes, in Trump. He admires them. He supports them. But he's not really a godly man himself. But the godly people, the righteous people, have found favor in his eyes. He's going to support conservative causes for a while, as long as he's in that position. And like I said, I don't trust these people until he's actually in as president. Anything can happen. So just remember, in her celebratory mood, this can change on a dime. Things can change instantly. Now, the AMCON level today, Sunday, November 13th, was raised one notch from AMCON 5 to AMCON 4. There is no imminent known threat to our telecommunications infrastructure. But it was about raising awareness and basically articulating the situational awareness that we have communist revolutionaries on the streets in America calling for killing people who do not agree with the globalist communist agenda. And they are backed by communists. Straight up. It says it right on the USA Communist website. All these organizations backing these movements, these riots that are taking place. Operation Premonition is coming to life on a different timeline. But we're seeing these things unfold. We're seeing violence in the streets call for, this is not our president. This is not a legitimate leader. Because, why? Because Hillary had the popular vote. That's democracy. In a republic, the Electoral College votes on the president. In a mob rule democracy, Hillary would have been president. That's the difference between a democracy and a republic. A republic is the rule of law, a constitutional rule of law. Democracy is mob rules. And there is a mob, and they want to rule. And now they're talking about taking it by force. This entire nation, the world, is against Trump. The United Nations Climate Summit officials express concern about Trump's victory. Merkel warns Trump, cooperation only if he upholds dignity of man. And of course, they define that sexual orientation, political views. So no matter what political views, if you don't agree with the communists, well, then you're not giving dignity to them because of their political views. If you oppose them based on communism, we've got after Trump and Brexit, populist tsunami threatens European mainstream. So now Trump is a threat. They are worried. There's concerns. And now they feel so bold and presumptuous as to warn Trump about his agenda. This entire world is stacking itself up against him. Another one, fear and concern. Trump is causing fear. He's causing instability. He's going to, here's the other one. China says, if Trump defies the international community by not going along with this climate change stuff, there's going to be consequences. Basically, they're setting up the argument that he just cannot simply be president. There's just too much at stake to allow him to be president. I'm telling you, things expect the unexpected in the days ahead, the weeks, months, and even over the next couple of years. Expect the unexpected and expect things to change on a dime, instantly, stunningly. Just be ready for it. Illegal immigrants threaten to revolt if Trump begins saying there will be war, calling to arm themselves. And in all of this, the seeds are being planted for the further division, destruction of America. California and Oregon citizens now are proposing secession from the United States. That's the left. Those seeds are being nurtured. Don't think they're not going to grow into something. We are on the edge of the fall of the American Republic. We'll be back in a minute. It's the end of an empire again.
of you may be asking yourselves, why should we be bothered with developing citizenship responsibilities? Well, there are many reasons. One of the primary reasons is that great principles do not live from generation to generation without being nurtured, without being kept vigorously alive. Unless we understand and work effectively for the principles upon which our American way of life is founded, the structure will crumble and our heritage of freedom will perish. Our freedom stems from the fact that America is a republic founded on a constitution and dedicated to the principle of democracy and the worth of the individual. The people rule. Another primary reason for the development of citizenship responsibility is that we are living in an era marked by the growth of socialism. To a substantial degree, in one form or another, socialism has spread the shadow of human regimentation over most of the nations of the earth. And the shadow is encroaching upon our own liberty.
Greetings, patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
This is segment three at the Voice of the American Redoubt, and this is brought to you by Katie Armor, C-A-T-I, come and take it, armor, with the soft armor, full hard plates, front, back, side plates, body armor carriers, and free shipping right here in the American Redoubt. Support a Patriot-owned business today. Check them out, katiearmor.com. Oh, my email is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt. Love hearing from you guys, all of you right-wing mainstreamists. This communist-backed, influenced movement that we are seeing right now is placing a lot of emphasis here on this for a reason. I'm wondering, as all of this is unfolding, where's the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center? Why aren't they denouncing these calls for violence against somebody simply because they're white? Kill the whites? Kill Trump? How many calls have we seen for violence? Calling for, hey, people've got to die. People have to die. It's just the way it is. That's what they're saying on the street, these communist-influenced groups. And we see pictures of Black Lives Matter people, hashtag Black Lives Matter, posting, tweeting, Facebooking, and they're yanking a white person out of a car and beating them unmercifully. What does the Southern Poverty Law Center say about this? Nothing. Silence. And, well, so I went to the Southern Poverty Law Center's website to see what they're saying about this, to call for calm, to call for peace, to denounce the violence, the racist violence. And what do I see here? An article from July 20th. Nothing except an article in 2016 talking about Black Lives Matter. Good. Let's see what they have to say. Oh, not a hate group. This is an article. Each year, the Southern Poverty Law Center, of which I am the president, compiles and publishes a census of domestic hate groups. Our list was cited extensively by journalists, blah, 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 okay. In recent weeks, apparently, they've had several people say, can you please name Black Lives Matter as a hate group? So this is the response. In our view, these critics fundamentally misunderstand the nature of hate groups and the BLM movement. Not Bureau of Land Management. This is Black Lives Matter now. A different thug group. Generally speaking, hate groups are, by our definition, well, there's the key right there. Just stop reading. By our definition, those that vilify entire groups of people based on immutable characteristics such as race or ethnicity. Federal law takes a similar approach. What about kill all whites? What about killing whites and police? Okay, so look at this. A prime example would be the new Black Panther Party, whose leaders are known for anti-Semitic and anti-white tirades. Its late chairman, Khalid, so he's gone, he's not relevant anymore, but Muhammad said, famously remarked, "There are no good crackers, and if you find one, kill him before he changes." Black racist. Okay, so basically, Bobby Seale, a founding member of the original Black Panther Party, has called the new Black Panther Party a black racist hate group. So we're not saying it. Southern Poverty Law Center's not saying it, but this other guy said it. But listen to this. "We have heard nothing remotely comparable to the new Black Panther Party's bigotry from the founders and most prominent leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement, and nothing at all to suggest that the bulk of the demonstrators hold supremacist or black separatist views." So as long as they don't say all crackers need to be killed before they, even a good one needs to be killed before he changes, as long as you don't say something like that, then you don't, then in our definition, it's not a racist group. And we've never heard any of the leaders say anything like that. Even though all the followers are out there with signs and making social media statements, these people, you take one patriot, some guy that's off the rails, might not even be affiliated with a group, doesn't even stand or represent a group, but he's just some guy in camouflage, and the entire patriot community, including militias, are demonized as racist because of what that one guy says. But it doesn't work the other way around. But, well, let's take a look at this. Black Lives Matter 757 on Facebook. Listen to this. "We really can't believe hashtag Trump won. I'm encouraging everyone to get in shape and grab a few hashtag firearms for your household. War is imminent. Partner with your local leaders, Black Lives Matter, hashtag Panthers, etc. It's time to organize and strategize for when the big day comes. YouTube survival videos, how to make a fire, purify water, etc. The threat level will be risen once. Obama fully leaves office in January. If you are local and would like to get involved with the movement, email Black Lives Matter, Gmail, and may God be with us all." And here, Breitbart's covering these riots where they're spray painting whites die, whites die, calling for violence against people because of the color of their skin. Which is interesting because you've got how many college students out there that finally crawl out of their safe spaces to come down and do a protest who are white, who are sobbing and crying because they're white and they hate white people. So they're standing there with, but you got black people down there saying, kill all the whites. Half the people supporting them are white. This is madness. And this is exacerbated by a deliberate, calculated communist agenda. And we're seeing it everywhere now. They're not even holding it back. They're not even holding back. There's communism painted all over this. I was in a conversation earlier today talking, and somebody stole the words right out of my mouth. We got talking about this. I'm like, man, I'm using up all my lines for the show tonight. But this is, and someone said, you know what? Let the communists come. They want to do communist revolutionary in the streets. Fine, bring it. Bring it on. But hold on a minute. That's precisely what the New World Order wants. This much chaos in the streets, carrying out violence against otherwise peaceful citizens who say we're not taking it anymore, and they push back, then it's obviously going to require some outside intervention. This is where the adults have to come in. I know we can fight back because we're armed, because they have not disarmed this populace. But things go to that level in the streets, and they can, if you guys don't know what communist revolutions on the streets look like, pure chaos. And that's when regular forces have to come in and break everything up, and in the process disarm everyone so we can take your toys away from you so you don't hurt each other. That's when the disarmament comes in, and they will promise peace in exchange for people turning in their firearms. And the communist revolutionaries won't. They'll bury them. and you had better as well. But see, this is calculated. There is a Latin saying, ordo ab chao, which means out of chaos comes order. To create chaos so that you can come in and restore order. Right now, they just saw the pushback of Americans saying, we don't want your globalist agenda anymore. We're done with it. And they put someone in there from the outside, someone from outside the beltway, outside of the system, outside of the oligarchy. He's an outsider. He doesn't play their game, and they didn't take him seriously. Or did they? Was this allowed for him to come into this position? I don't think so. I think this is completely taken out of the hands of the people at this point. God now is moving the pieces. He's setting things up for his glory for the big showdown that's going to come. But evil is still coming. We know it if we're Christians and we see what the book of Revelation says. Things are going to get really, really bad. We're not going to change the book of Revelation because of who we voted in for Trump. This is all a pawn. He's a pawn on a big chessboard. And all of these pieces are being maneuvered into place. There's not going to be a big EMP that's going to shut the whole world down and throw us into the darkness, because we know that one day there will be a system in place that you will not be able to buy, sell, barter, trade, transport. You will not be able to move. You will not be able to commute. All right, without being watched and observed, there will be no place to hide. Technology will be a player. Now, there might be an EMP or something that takes America out. Maybe that's part of our judgment. So we get snuffed out, and then our adversaries come swooping in to seize the natural resources that we owe so much money for in debt. So we don't know how it's all going to play out, but chaos is definitely part of the plan. And from the chaos, there must be order. Over at Revolution, which is the voice of the Revolutionary Communist Party USA, right here. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. Rise up, get into the streets, unite with people everywhere to build up resistance in every way you can. Don't stop, don't conciliate, don't accommodate, don't collaborate. Classic, classic communist mantra. They've been using the same stuff for 70 years. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist. So, well, what is a fascist? We'll talk about that when we get back. I'm going to give some action plans for you guys as well. Do not go to sleep. This is not the time. This is the time when you need to keep up the momentum. We had a victory on Tuesday. It was a temporary reprieve. It was unmerited favor. It was called grace, and we need to make good use of it. Because I know how fast things can change. Trump could change on us. Look, the guy supported Hillary in her last campaign in 2012. He was a major donor. He could change on us in an instant. Something can happen. I don't know what happens to these people. Something happens to these people. I don't know if like demons visit them and say, look, this is the way it's going to be now. You're in the big time. And these are the rules. And they walk out and their hair's all white. And you're like, what happened to you? Why do you have the glazed look over? Why are you supporting policies that... what's happened to you? Where did you go? Something happens to him, doesn't it? Anyway, expect the unexpected. And expect segment 4 in just a few minutes. Right here at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary. the way I see it. As many of you know, I, along with many of my Republican colleagues, introduced a series of state sovereignty bills. They would opt Washington State out of a nationalized health care system and also out of a national cap-and-trade program and protect the right to bear arms through the Washington Firearms Freedom Act. The Democrat response? The Speaker pro tem of the House claimed Republicans wanted to, quote, lead Washington out of the Union. Local Senator Chris Marr even inferred to a group of constituents that Republicans are racist. The Spokesman Review said that discussing the constitutional boundaries of the federal government is a waste of time. Really. The problem is, we haven't been talking enough about the Constitution and the basic principles that made this nation great. State sovereignty is, in fact, about keeping the nation together and fighting Democrat attempts to destroy small business through bigger government. But the bigger point here is that the president and Democrats like Senator Chris Marr have created a cloud of fear that is overshadowing this country. Businesses are afraid to build new factories, buy new equipment, or hire new employees because of the uncertainty surrounding what new regulations, mandates, and taxes are going to come out of Washington, D.C. and Olympia. The people are afraid of proposed assault weapons ban and the rationing of ammunition or being labeled traitors for believing what the Constitution says or believing that it means what it says. Fear and anxiety are everywhere. State sovereignty, on the other hand, is about hope. If the federal government would just get out of the way and stay in its constitutionally designed box, we would be free to fix our own problems right here in Washington. If we need to fear anything, it's the notion that more socialism is going to solve our economic crisis. Instead, we should look to 2 Chronicles 7:14 for the answer. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the last and fourth segment here, and this is brought to you by strategiclandscapedesign.com in the North Idaho, Eastern Washington area. Well, I don't know if they cover Eastern Washington. I better back up before I obligate them. Anyway, give them a call today, strategiclandscapedesign.com. And they're going to help you begin planning your property improvements now to make it defensible, to make it sustainable living on your own property. They'll make your retreat, your homestead property, benefit from a strategic landscape design, from developing a property master plan, laying out garden areas, creating construction details for building defensive positions that blend in seamlessly into the landscape. Strategic Landscape Design will walk you through that process. Where were we? We were talking about, something I want to cover here. Oh, talking about we can't live under fascism. This is interesting. Fascism, they're writing, is a very serious thing. Fascism foments and relies on xenophobic nationalism. Nationalism, bad. That's not true. Nationalism is good, unless you're a communist or a globalist. Racism and the aggressive reinstitution of oppressive traditional values. Oh, the reinstitution of oppressive traditional values, you know, like Christian values. Fascism feeds on and encourages the threat and the use of violence to build a movement and come to power. Isn't this interesting? They're the ones that are encouraging and carrying out violence to build a communist movement and to destroy America and to advance globalism and climate change cult and everything else. So they are the thing that they are warning everyone to fight against. This is how twisted they are. Fascism, once in power, essentially eliminates traditional democratic rights. Fascism attacks, jails, and executes its opponents. Yeah, just like communism, right? You're describing communism. And it launches violent mob attacks on minorities. Oh, yeah, you're right. Where there's a huge mob of black agitators who attacked a single lone older white man. Yeah, you're right. Basically, Black Lives Matter are fascists, according to these guys, and launches violent mob attacks on minorities. In Nazi Germany in the 1930s and 40s under Hitler, fascism did all these things. Yeah, and he was socialist.
You guys are like one step away. Communists are one step away from socialists. Germany, Nazi Germany in 1930s and 40s under Hitler, fascism did all these things that they just described. Yes, but what they don't tell you is that, a 600% increase of deaths were carried out by communist Stalin in the Soviet Union. Estimated 200 million people have been killed by communism in the last century. But let's just talk about the fascist Nazis in Germany, who are socialists. They imprisoned millions in concentration camps and exterminated millions of Jews, Roma people, gypsies, and other undesirables, just like your grand leader, Stalin. And Hitler did almost all this through the established institutions and the rule of law, just like Stalin, just like Pol Pot, just like Castro. This is where this goes, and yes, Hitler himself could talk graciously when he felt it would serve his interests and lull his opponents. Yep, just like all of the other tyrants that I just mentioned that were communists. Trump did not even win the popular vote. That's right, but this is not a democracy. This is a republic. Even though he did win the Electoral College, which decides elections in the U.S., Hitler himself came to power through democratic procedures. And so did Stalin. And so does Castro and his brother every single year. Should the people have accepted Hitler? Hey, he was voted in through an election process. Should they have accepted Hitler? They're comparing Trump to Hitler. Unfortunately, they did at a horrific cost to humanity. Today, with nuclear weapons, that cost could be far higher. I agree, which is why they should not be allowed to be in the hands of the Hildebeest, because she said that nuclear weapons were off the table and she's already escalating things before she's even president with another nuclear power. I thank God she did not get in. Now we're seeing Muslims and communists joining forces, calling it an American Intifada. Communists and radical Islamists join forces. Of course, we saw this last summer, the last couple of years with, and don't forget, you see Mexican flags flying right alongside Palestinian flags and all of the other communist influence organizations marching together. They are pushing for a communist classic, something you guys, many of you in the younger audience, the younger members of this audience, forgot about. You don't even know what communism is or was. I was raised in the Cold War. Everybody knew what a communist was. We knew what they were capable of. We knew their agenda. We were warned of it. But in just one generation, they forgot it. In fact, now you've got half of this generation begging for socialism and communism. Listen to the immigrants and refugees who escaped communism and listen to their stories. The horror stories. And now it's a good thing. Even NPR ran one in February of, when was this, 2010? How communism brought racial equality to the South. Unbelievable. Communist revolutionaries are in the streets calling for people to arm themselves, to get into shape, to prepare for war, and claiming that people must die for this change that's necessary to take place. They're calling for killing of whites. They're calling of anybody, well, who's not a communist, anybody who voted for Trump. You guys not understand what's happening on the streets of our country right now. But see, this is planned. This is orchestrated. And it has been for a long time. Satan has incredible power also. He's the god of this world. He's influencing nations as well. So most of your fighting should be done on your knees. Continue to do that. Don't stop. Don't let up off the gas. Don't stop. Now more than ever. I'm talking to myself here too. Order ab chaos. Out of chaos comes order. And they do have an order planned. This new world order that they have not quite been able to just quite get off the ground, they're going to have a perfect excuse to implement it. They will bring order. They've been planning for it. Expect the unexpected in the weeks, days, weeks, months, and years ahead. So, there are some things that I want to reiterate that I left off with yesterday, and then I'll wrap up. First of all, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. Do not put it off. It was only because Hillary was not the Victor on Tuesday that a $650 M4 or AR-15 went to $2,500. It's because, I hope I said that right, she did not win, and for that reason, a case of ammo did not jump from $300 a case to $1,350 a case. You were given some time, and every single person who's gone through tyranny, war, upheaval, their countries being torn apart, who were stripped of their ability to defend themselves, their families, and their communities, and to stand against a tyrant. They were doing unspeakable things to people. They are all saying, arm yourselves and never give them up. I want to encourage you guys to learn how to use this. I don't want to put something together. I don't have time to go through this. I don't have time to make videos, and I don't have time to go track down and find videos. I've seen tons of videos that are great. I've seen some that were not that great. What I'd like you guys to do is, if you would send me links to YouTube videos that you personally or your group or your team or your militia have found to be just out exceptional, outstanding training. From those of you guys who've had training, you're tactically proficient and you understand this. You've got it down. Okay, not just glorified, just emptying magazines, close quarter battle and everything else. I'm talking about team tactics, transition drills, magazine change drills, tactics with pistol, rifle, shotgun. If you guys find, send me in links to the best, absolute best videos for training and instruction that you have found. And we're going to put a compilation, a list together. But here's the thing. Watching videos and then trying to walk through it is a substitute if you must. But if you can, invest and take a tactical course. Take courses, plural. Learn to employ a combat rifle if you don't already know. If you do know, teach someone else. If you don't know and you don't know somebody else that can teach you, take courses. Combat handgun, combat rifle, and shotgun. Learn how to use them in a field environment, like infantry tactics, and then defending your home, close quarters, type of home defense and property defense. Now, I don't want to put all the emphasis just on guns and everything else. There are plenty of people that are sitting there that have sat there before starving to death, or they were compelled to use their firearms to take food from someone else to keep themselves from starving. And that's not where you want to be either. Why we have the time, let me remind you, there is an economic collapse that is coming that cannot be stopped. Nothing, only a couple of things changed. If there is no economic collapse, then Trump's going to do some good things with regard to sealing our borders, and he's going to do some good things, and the believers will find favor in his eyes. But I do not see us repenting at the national level. So you need to focus locally. You need to focus on being able to weather the storm, stock up, continue to stock up until you have 90 days, 30 days, then 60 days, then 90 days, then 6 months, then a year's worth of food so that you can weather a storm and get out the other side of it so you can contribute. Because when there is a vacuum and things come crashing down, some system is poised to step in and say, this is the new world order now. This is the new system. Follow me. I have solutions. There are people that are already planning for that, and those people do not have liberty or Americanism in mind in their plans. It will take people that are not starving to death, coming out the other side of whatever comes, to be able to have an influence in rebuilding something, if the Lord allows it. Do not stop preparing on all levels. Be prepared to be self-reliant medically, food and water and defense and communications. Of course, go to Amron.com. If that's something that's new to you, you want to stay informed and be able to inform others and develop those skills, somebody in your group or the two people in your group to be able to do that. Communications are going to be essential. Hope that makes sense. All right. I look forward to hearing your top recommendations for training videos on not just tactics. We can break this down into medical and tactics, procuring water. A number of these be great resources to start putting together and put them up as postings to share with others. All right. Okay, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. We are we broke an hour, and I said, oh, this is just going to be a short show. And also, this week, I'm getting a high-gain Yagi antenna. It was a Wi-Fi issue this week. It was my bad. It was not the station. It was not the studio. They fixed the issues, and then I dropped the ball on my end because one of my primary studios, I have such a weak signal. My show from yesterday on ACN was just all chopped up, broken up, and everything else. And it's just not consistent enough. So I have to spend the money, buy this Yagi antenna, and increase the gain on my signal so that I'll have good, solid quality audio connection to the station. That's what happened yesterday. I have no one to blame. It was just, it's something I've been tolerating because it hasn't been that bad. It's been okay. I can put up with it. But yesterday it was unbearable. I couldn't even listen to it. Someone else said, "Man, I tried listening to it, but I had to finally shut it off. I'm sorry." Now, don't be sorry. I couldn't listen to it myself. It's horrible. I was just so bummed. But anyway, I'm going to get a new high-gain Yagi antenna for the cellular connection to the tower, and we shouldn't have that any problem. That's going to happen this week. So tune in next Saturday on the American Christian Network Radio Free Readout from 11 to noon Pacific, and then Sunday night right here at RadioFreeReadout.com. Thank you guys for tuning in. You have a blessed week. Keep us in your prayers, and thank you for your support. And don't forget to go to Amazon.com to do your Christmas shopping. After clicking from Radio Free Readouts, click on our Amazon banner there. That helps support Radio Free Readout and Amron, and it doesn't cost you anything more. So we thank you guys for keeping that in mind. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.